Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 6:11. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, sitting in today. Steve is back on Monday. Dave Ennett, good to see you, buddy.
Nice to see you. Welcome back.
I feel like I'm all caught up with the show because I listen every single day. And Andrea took the day off today to go see Lady Gaga. No one called her on it yesterday, which I thought was odd because the concert's tonight.
Well, she needs to sleep in so you can stay up late.
Don't you guys think that's a little funny? Yeah. I'm going to see Lady Gaga.
She doesn't like to work when Steve's off.
Okay. What do you mean?
That's something about...
Hold on a second.
You. She doesn't want to work with any of us when Steve's not here.
I've worked with her many times.
No, I know.
That's why she's decided to take the day off.
She's starting vacation, and you know how that is.
Oh,
she
she's off all next week.
She won't be tired for Gaga.
She won't be tired for Gaga, but it's also, you know how you kind of need a day to kind of dip your toe in when you're going on vacation just to sort of get ready for it?
But she's not going anywhere.
Oh, well, is she okay, going in? Mary, why don't you just
still needs to pack.
Go ahead and give away all the information about her.
Is she
going? She might. She's not sure yet.
Is she going anywhere on vacation?
She might go somewhere.
She was planning to go.
Yeah. She always goes somewhere.
Is she off all of next week?
Yes.
Good for her.
And then the next Monday. Like, I can fill in.
And then, think about it, because then it's a week from Monday is Labor Day. She's off that day, too. So she's got a nice long stretch.
God, I got to remember that.
Good for her.
I never plan my vacations like that.
Why not?
You know, because a week is too long for me. I'm good with 3 days. I'm fine with that.
You were in Ireland. It felt like you were there for 2 months.
Oh, my God.
How long were you there?
I was there a month and a half, it seemed like. I was there 7 days.
Two
were travel. So I was there 5 days in Ireland.
So two in the air, five on the ground.
Yeah.
I thought you were. It felt like you were gone for probably a good 14, 17 days.
It felt like it.
I know.
It was a great trip, though. I love Bertrand. I brought him a bottle of wine. Do you see the wine sitting in the studio? Because I had such a good time. Drank enough Guinness for the entire show. All right, let's get to the 6 and 6. Mike, you ready?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
6 at 6, coming in at number one. Listen to this. State lawmakers have an agreement to end the school funding crisis. Are you kidding me? The House will return to Springfield Monday for the vote. The Senate will also need to vote one more time. Lawmakers have debated for years on how to send state aid to schools. Governor Rauner is on board. And that is the key. Mayor Emanuel praised the compromise last night.
That's good. Think about the kids.
That is very good.
Think about the kids.
But it's not over until the vote happens. This is Illinois. Okay, guys? President Trump attacked leaders of his own party on Twitter for failing to advance his agenda in Congress. He ripped Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, saying, fund the border wall or risk government shutdown. Does he realize that the Republicans are in charge of Congress? Does he understand that?
He ripped him on Twitter.
He did.
Yeah.
He ripped him on Twitter. The White House downplayed it yesterday, but behind the scenes, huge mess. What is going on in Washington?
Can we get rid of Twitter?
did you see, by the way, his tweet this morning?
Oh, no.
Already?
I haven't even brought up Twitter yet.
I just Googled Trump tweets this morning. I saw nothing.
Few, if any, administrations have done more in just 7 months than the
God.
Trump A. Bills passed, regulations killed, border military ISIS SC.
I'm going to have to look that up.
That was 30 minutes ago.
30 minutes ago. He's
man.
Up and at it. Okay. Wow. Hurricane Harvey headed to the coast of Texas, where it's expected to cause major flooding. Governor Greg Abbott has already declared a state of disaster for 30 counties, and he told Texans yesterday, get out of Dodge.
Would you listen?
I would absolutely leave.
Me too.
Yes. Yeah, you have to.
I know, but some people won't.
And it's a Category 1, is that right? Moving to shore either tonight or early tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So you're going to hear about it tomorrow on all the talk shows. Coming in at number four, the 6 at 6, Mavis Swajak won the $758 million Powerball.
One person.
She came forward Thursday, accepted her check, the payout around $310 million. Mavis, a 52-year-old mother with two grown children, works as a Chippewa, Massachusetts medical center. She called into work yesterday and said, listen, I'm not going to be coming in.
You know what? She could spend $10,000 a day for the rest of her life and still not run out of money.
Did you watch the press conference
yesterday?
She walked out of the press conference chewing gum. All of the nation is watching her. She's chewing gum. She walks over to her big check. I like that. All right. At number five, Mitch Trubisky, the Bears' top draft pick, will start the second half and play with the first team on Sunday. The Bears take on the Titans at noon on Fox 32. We'll talk to Hall of Famer Dan Hampton at 7:40 this morning. Dave, is that a good thing?
Oh, sure, it's a good thing.
What do the Bears see? They must see something. Well, I've seen it.
I think you've seen it.
He can roll out and pass.
Let's put it this way. If you've seen it, I have a hunch they've seen it.
Okay. All right. And finally, the much-hyped boxing match for Saturday night in Las Vegas between boxer Floyd Mayweather Jr. and UFC fighter Conor McGregor is a huge success for the state of Nevada, the promoters, and everyone involved. 60 million tickets sold. There are about 1,000 seats left in the arena if you'd like to fly to Vegas and
I'd love to go.
Who is everybody taking in the fight?
I'm going McGregor.
Okay.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay, there have been, I have to tell you this, there have been multiple million-dollar bets on Mayweather, and with all the big money being put on Mayweather, it's skewing the odds now. The casinos, MGM Sportsbook took $1 million bet from a VIP casino guest who wired in the money yesterday.
Wow.
The bet would net just under $182,000.
Didn't Floyd say he was going to bet a few million on himself?
Well, I think he did, yeah.
Conor McGregor has one round, and that's the first round. If he knocks out Floyd in the first round.
Exactly. But McGregor's scrappy, right? So didn't he do practice rounds against other boxers, and they filmed it, and there's like the secret film of the boxer that he fought with said, well, did you feel that punch?
He can't kick. That's his whole thing. He's a UFC fighter. There's no kicking. You have to box.
And he has to wear gloves, too, so that'll be new.
Are you going to watch it?
If someone gets it and invites me over, I'm not going to pay for it. That's how much is it? 100 and something?
Something.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 6 at 6 is brought to you by our good friends at American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. We'll take caller number 6 right now. We'll set you up with a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
It's 6:24. It's time for Lou's First Call, 312-981-7200. If you have a question for Lou, 312-981-7200. I was texting Lou last night because I had a little bit of a problem with my dishwasher.
Did you put liquid soap in there?
I did not liquid soap in there. I know. Do we have Lou? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, where is Lou? Lou! There he is.
Morning.
Lou.
Hi,
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you two?
You know what?
I think we've become closer since you've given me your cell phone number.
Yeah, I'd rather have Jane text me. It's way better for my ego than any of Pete text me.
Let me explain to people what happened. I had a glass that broke in my dishwasher, and the good people at App came out and fixed it. And the guy said, hey, you need to clean this out. There's too much soap residue. So immediately I pick up my phone and I text Lou and I say, hey, what can I do to clean out the soap residue?
Wait. I'm going to back you up. I broke a glass in my dishwasher.
Yes. My wife did. I didn't.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
No. But that's not the problem.
Yeah.
You called somebody to clean it out?
Well, I originally opened it up and I started cleaning out and it still wouldn't drain. So I had to call the people at App.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. Trust me, I can take a few things apart.
I was worried. I mean, you're a good boy from Peoria, and,
right.
and all the people down there are now going, what happened to him?
My father is an engineer. He was an engineer at Caterpillar, believe right. me. He took everything apart. So what did you tell me? Tell everyone.
Well, so this is a huge problem for a lot of people. You, no matter what kind of soap you use, there can be residue buildup, and then people say, man, my dishwasher just doesn't clean as it used to. And so this is the trick. You run the hot water always before you run a dishwasher in the sink to get the water as hot as possible.
All right.
You turn the dishwasher onto the hot, the strongest setting, so it might be heavy duty or pots and pans, and you start it up. And you'll hear it fill, you'll hear it run for a little bit, then you'll hear it drain. There's always a pre-wash cycle in dishwashers. That's the one that gets rid of all the food and the gunk before it starts to wash.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you hear it fill back up and start running again, you open it up, 2 cups of CLR into the tub, empty, the whole dishwasher is empty, close it up, and let it finish its cycle.
How about that?
CLR.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah.
Did you do it?
Well, I haven't bought CLR yet.
You texted me at like 4 in the afternoon. What
I know.
Were you doing?
Well, I had to pick up my son, and then
Is there a store by your son?
I went to Jewel, and
yeah,
I forgot to get
it.
I forgot to get it. I know they did. I forgot. I'll get it today. Trust me, I'm going to do it.
But how important, if our dishwashers are full, how do we know they're full of soap gunk, and how often should we be CLRing them?
Well, I mean, A, when you look at it, I mean, I'll tell you what, when you go home today and you open up your dishwasher, take a look at how the door looks around the stripping that's around the door that seals up, and then the actual part that it seals up. It's disgusting. I guarantee you it looks nasty. Just get a Scotch-Brite pad on the other side of the sponge, even just with warm water, and clean it. And
it's
you'll
crazy.
Be completely grossed out. But also, if you notice that the dishwasher just isn't cleaning like it used to, this cleans all the calcium buildups inside all the little jets, and it works tremendously well.
God, isn't it great to
CLR
have
CLR doesn't
him
even
at
know they're
fingertips.
In this business.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
gosh.
I'm going to need your cell phone for sure.
312-981-7200. Looking for a lose first call. Before we go to a caller, I wanted to ask you, kids are back to school. Is there something that we need to do? Because when there's the time change, you always say change your batteries and your smoke alarm. Is there
right.
something that we do now?
You don't have to wait for that. October is when you'll hear a lot of this, where we'll talk about the detectors and whatnot. But certainly, late August, early September, you can go change all that stuff out. Anything that's battery operated in your home, it's a good idea to change that out. Even programmable thermostats. Typically they've got a couple of 2-3 AA batteries in them that should be changed as well. I actually keep it on my calendar and, have it on an annual basis or biannual, depending on what the device is, to remind me to do that. And that's certainly a very good thing to do. And then even now with time changes and lighting, if you've ever thought about changing things out to LED lights on the outside lights as well, they look great and they shine like crazy, and you won't have to change them for like 10 years.
I'm smiling because Jane's like, wow, you're friends with Lou and you can text him anytime.
I'm smiling. This is such good information.
I mean, think about it. You have a problem. You have Mr. Fix-It. You can text him.
But Lou, is anything ever break at your house?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But not for very long.
I will say that, if my wife was on the line, she would tell you about the 10 things that need to get fixed, but thankfully
right.
she's not. I do kind of hop on it pretty quick, and I have a little OCD about it as well, like when I see something, I got to get that done. And so it drives her crazy because I'll be in the middle of something else, like bring up the laundry. And as I pass by and I see this loose doorknob, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go back down and get my screwdriver and tighten this one up. And all she wants is the basket of laundry to put the laundry
right.
start. For me to help her put the laundry away.
I love this. Let's go to Greg in Lake in the Hills. Greg, you are Lou's first call. What's your question?
Hi, good morning. I have Brazilian cherry wood hardwood floors, and I have a couple scratches on them. I didn't know if there's anything I could do to fill them in without actually ruining the existing floors around them.
Is it just is it the color or the finish where you have the scratches?
It's on the finish. You can actually see it's like cherry, but kind of reddish, and then you can see where the scratch actually took that out.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I could do for that.
Yeah, so one of the things you can try, and then if this doesn't work, then you'll have to do the whole floor, is there's a product line you can find at most Ace stores called Rejuvenate. And they make a top coating to take care of those micro scratches. This stuff works really great. You buy a bottle. The bottle's like $12. Pour a little bit in a small bowl and use a foam brush. You know, you'll get the paintbrush there as well. And just carefully do the one board where the scratch is. It comes in a satin and a semi. I would do the satin. You may notice when you do that that the finish, the shine, it's called flashing, may not match, and it might drive you crazy. If that's the case, pull everything out of that room. Get there. They sell a little synthetic sheepskin that goes on the end of a mop head, and do the whole floor. You do the whole floor, it'll take you 20 minutes, leave for 2 hours, come back. The finish will look brand new, and it will last.
Damn.
All right, rejuvenate. Okay, thank
you. Greg, yeah. Hold on. Since you're Lou's first call, we're going to set you up with the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. And Lou, one more thing before you go. Mm-hmm. I listen on the app, and I hear a commercial all the time. They have something at Ace.
For Progressive?
Besides Progressive.
Man, they must be selling lots of insurance because that's all I hear on the app is Progressive commercials.
Yes, they do. But there is something about mold, and there's talk about mold in your air ducts. Is that true? There's something that you can buy?
Well, the mold and mildew issue is a huge issue in general, and it exists everywhere. So there's about 10 or 12 different strains that it's really bad. There's a product called Fog You Mold, which is from one of our fine sponsors called Healthful Home, that, you know, you should first of all get your air ducts cleaned every 5 to 7 years if you have central air. But then if you're worried about mold or mildew, this Fog You Mold, if you take the furnace filter out of your forced air furnace and just flip the switch to fan and give this thing a little bit of a spray right in that little slot where the filter goes in,
right,
while the fans are in, to let that suck in and circulate through the system, and then go to the individual vents with the fan off and spray that as well. It's going to help to control and kill the mold that's in that venting, and it's a really useful product for attics and crawl spaces and other areas as well. It's almost like it's a small aerosol can that you can hit the button and use it like a fogger. So
right.
If you have mold up in the attic, you can put it up there and click the switch and leave. It'll autonomize up in the attic space and then grab on all the mold that's on the backside of the sheeting or on the fiberglass and kill it.
Wow.
And
it's
here
awesome.
I thought I had to get all new ductwork.
There
No.
This is so much better.
She was saving up all her money for new ductwork.
Yes.
Right.
I think I need to be a guest on Mr. Fix-It Saturday mornings here at 7 a.m. on
WGN. We start tomorrow.
I know. I mean, because I have so many questions. I could go on for another half hour. Lou, we love you, man. We'll listen tomorrow morning.
Love you more. Give Jane my phone number.
Thanks, Lou. I'll text you later.
Lou Manfredini, the big story coming up next. Pete McMurray and for Steve Cochran. Jane Monzuris is here at 6:33. By the way, Lou, again, brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. HVAC at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Never would come to me. 6:45, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris sitting in today. It's a big day today here in Chicago. Well, a big weekend. The Chicago Triathlon is happening Sunday, and the kickoff is today. There is a run happening today where 500 people will be running around in their underwear on the lakefront. This is the greatest idea. Whoever came up with this is genius. Joining us in studio is the organizer, Scott Hootie Hootmacher. It's good to see you, man.
Hi.
Thanks, Pete.
And you and Jane have a connection, right?
Well, he walked in. He said, I'm Hootie. And he said, I am Scott Hootmacher. And I said, are you any relation to Ryan? And he goes like, that's my brother. Centered chef is Ryan Hootmacher.
Indeed.
Indeed. Very successful family.
We don't want to talk about him, do we?
Well, you guys could be twins.
He's like, why are you talking about my brother?
We are. And we've crossed paths in our careers, which is great. He's in the health, wellness, nutrition world,
right.
And I'm in the athletics.
And that's health, wellness, and nutrition.
We synergize very well.
It's fantastic.
The underwear run today. Let's talk about that first of all. The kickoff of the triathlon weekend.
That's right.
So how do you get in this? People are really running in their underwear on the lake.
Yes. So big picture, this is the 35th annual Chicago Triathlon. We've been around since 83. Almost 10,000 athletes come to downtown Chicago to celebrate the best short course triathlon in the world. It's awesome. It's huge. You got to be out there. The idea of triathlon is super daunting and threatening to a lot of people out there. So,
Right. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
We have a sister race in New York who several years ago, they created this idea of let's get past all that animosity, that anxiety, just all the tension that comes with registering and participating in your first triathlon. And let's cut that out early in the weekend. So they hosted a 1.7-mile underwear run in Central Park. It just brings out all these people from different backgrounds, from the woodwork, basically, and have a good time kicking off the weekend in their skivvies.
What kind of undies are they wearing?
Tidy whities. Very, very prominently. You do see some boxers in there, but
you can't go boxer briefs?
You can do whatever you want here.
Girls aren't wearing tidy whities.
There's a little bit of everything.
Okay.
If you go to the New York City Triathlon page, you'll see it. You know, we don't have that history yet, but tomorrow you're going to see some amazing pictures posted right there.
And the same 1.7?
So here in Chicago, we took the idea. Gildan is a sponsor of this. Gildan's an underwear company,
yeah,
coincidentally. And they're providing underwear and socks to a lot of the athletes out there. A lot of the what we're calling the letter people. We have a select few athletes who are going to be painted with Shy Try, which is our hashtag. Mm-hmm. And just, again, celebrating the idea of this sport is fun, and we're going to show you from day one that it's entertaining.
Where does it kick off on the lake if people want to go watch it?
Right. So Queens Landing,
okay,
just east of Buckingham Fountain, right there on Lakeshore Drive.
Right.
5 o'clock is when we can have athletes start checking in. This is open to the public as well. 5:30, or excuse me, at 6 o'clock, we have a costume contest as well. So this whole thing, it's not just a PR stunt. It's a benefit for the 100 Club of Chicago as well, who's a great partner of ours. They support fallen first responders, police, fire, military, what have you.
Joey Hearn, the president. Yes, I know Joe very well. It's a great organization.
He's a great dude. Great guy. So we're raising some money for them at the same time. And then there's a costume contest, and it's a first responder themed costume contest. Granted, you're in your underwear, you're in your skivvies, but you can still get creative with wearing a fireman's cap or maybe a police belt or something along those lines.
I just found the pictures on the New York City Triathlon. He's not kidding.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
everybody in their underwear.
Given a very accurate description of what you see, a little of everything.
NYCTri.com. It's all there.
So during the rush hour tonight, we're going to see people running along the lake in their underwear.
That's right.
God, that's a great
visual.
5 o'clock
tonight. So can anyone still show up? If I want to, I'm not going to do the triathlon because I just heard about it, but I want to maybe run in my underwear, and I'm hearing about it right now. Can I still show up tonight and run in my undies?
So you can pre-register at chicagotriathlon.com. It's right there. It's a $10 suggested donation, but you don't have to if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can show up to the lakefront at 5 o'clock.
If you just are, I want to run my underwear.
Show up in your underwear. Dave,
5 o'clock today?
He's like,
I run around in my underwear all the time. Why not out in public?
Don't you think there'll be people running in their underwear and then running up to Wrigley for Lady Gaga?
Of course.
Sure.
Oh, my God,
that
you're
would be
right.
Sequins underwear, though.
You're right. Scott, stick around. I want to talk more about the triathlon. What's the website people can go to again?
Chicagotriathlon.com.
All right, it's 6:49. Let's take a look at traffic. Here's Mary. All right, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in today. Andrea is on vacation. Steve Cochran is back on Monday in studio with us. Scott Hootie Hootmacher, the Chicago Triathlon is happening on Sunday. The underwear run is happening today. And during traffic, we went to NYCTri.com where they had the underwear run last year. Does anybody have hair on their body? I mean, I'm a pretty hairy guy. I don't see any hairy people in these pictures at all.
Competitive triathletes, it's custom to shave your body.
Shave your body?
Bizarre.
So I need to shave it up tonight before I put on my underwear and run outside.
And they're all in really great shape. And how weird are we that we went directly to the underwear site? Dave, Pete.
Well, only at Hootie's suggestion.
Right. Dave started, and then Jane, and I figured I need to see these pictures. Let me ask Dave. Dave, have you ever done a triathlon?
I have not. I've broadcast several Chicago triathlons.
And tell us the distance for everything, Scott.
Sure. So we actually have 5 different races across race weekend. And we start with kids who race a very short distance up at Foster Beach tomorrow morning. I would say they race a 100-yard dash or 100-yard swim, typically about a 3-mile bike ride and then a 1-mile run. And then you graduate up to the adults on Sunday who race downtown here. The primary distance for the adults is what we call the international or the Olympic distance. And that's a 1.5-kilometer swim, which is almost a full mile. It's a 40K bike ride.
I would drown right there. I would never make it.
Well, you just learned how to swim.
I know. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you really?
I did.
We'll talk about that. Oh. And then they wrap up with a 10K run. So it's 32 total miles of athletics. If you're not ready for that, we have what we call the sprint distance, which is exactly half of that distance.
So it's 18 miles is still a lot.
It is.
If you're a novice, 18 is a lot. I mean, absolutely. I think 3 is a lot for a 7-year-old.
It's all about perspective, though.
Sure.
You know, if you guys were forced to march 100 miles right now, you could probably pull that off.
Right.
And that's the same idea here. If you've got all the time in the world to complete these distances, you have a lot of time over the summer to train. We have the world's greatest swim venue, Lake Michigan, right here at Ohio Street Beach, to get athletes acclimated to our sport, which is why we're the world's largest and continue to be the world's largest triathlon. And the diversity out there, you guys were mentioning all these chiseled bodies in front of this New York underwear run. The reality is you see every body type out there, everybody with any athletic background.
Mm-hmm.
30% of our athletes are first-timers, have never done a triathlon before. So you've always got strength in numbers, regardless of your background or your passion, your goals out there.
And you could also do it, Hootie, correct me if I'm wrong, as a relay team.
That's absolutely right. Yep, we always encourage the full distance, but if you have two or three friends, you can break up.
Oh, I could do that.
So you and I could team up. Jane, you could do the swimming.
Sure.
Are you a good swimmer?
I would rather probably do the running.
I'm not swimming.
I'll do the running.
I'll swim. Oh, okay.
Or I could do the biking.
Yeah, Mary could do the biking.
Okay, I'll do it by myself, and you three can go do it.
Scott, how many have you done?
I'm inspired now.
How many triathlons?
Yeah.
50 or so.
Ah, 50 or so.
I've been in the space forever, though, guys, so that's different.
Does your body ever break down? Because if I run, I got to wait 2 more days before I can run again.
So that's a tough question to answer.
Well, drink beer, Mr. McMurray, and vodka.
Yeah. You can do this with a well-balanced lifestyle. And in reality, comparing to our friends at the marathon office, running 26 miles destroys your body and your legs. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of recovery time that comes with marathoning. Triathlon, you're swimming, biking, running, upper and lower body. So typically after an Ironman, the longest distance triathlon out there, a lot of athletes feel better the day after an Ironman than they would the day after a Seoul marathon.
Okay.
Because you're splitting up the parts of the body that you're working
exactly. Yeah, your intensity comes way down. You just pace yourself a little bit better.
Yeah. I was dancing at a concert last night and my knees hurt. So, I mean, no, but I feel like, you're talking about using different parts of your body and being inspired to do it. And you've done 50 or so. That's a lot. But all the three of us sitting in this room, we've never done a triathlon.
Sure.
Could anybody do it? And how much training?
Yes. Absolutely.
You have to train.
We highly recommend that. It's not just for the athletics, to learn the swim stroke and to be confident on the bike and know how to maneuver your bike around other bikes and in traffic and whatnot. We're close to traffic, by the way, our bike courses are. But getting a sense of how to do that next to other bodies is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing how to swim in a pool is key, having the tips and techniques there, but then applying that to open water where you can't see the bottom of the pool, you have other bodies next to you.
Right.
And how do you deal with those little bumps or those little issues that you're not going to experience on your own, just training in the comforts of an indoor gym?
Right.
That's interesting that you say that, because I hear that from triathletes that say when they get in the water during the race, they're hyped up anyway, and when they start swimming, all those people around them, they freak out. Some of them freak out.
Yep.
Yeah.
We actually
got to stay calm.
The swim is the barrier to our sport. And as kids, we all swam, we all splashed around, but we've never taken that to competitive swimming outdoors with other bodies. So in the course of the summer, we produced 3 open water swim clinics for the community at Ohio Street Beach. We had our last one on Tuesday. We had 1,500 athletes come out.
Wow. That's
so we
fantastic.
Helped them get past that hurdle and bring them into our space. And it's an amazing process to watch that transformation of them surviving, quote unquote, that first swim.
How about we do the relay next year? You're on our team.
Yeah.
Dave can swim.
Yep.
Jane can
no,
run.
I can't swim.
You ride the bike.
No.
I'm on the handlebars. Is that cool?
Okay.
Will that work?
We can do that.
I think it's encouraging. And when people do this and they complete it, do you just see the sense of satisfaction just coming over their faces?
There are a lot of emotions at that finish line.
That's great.
And there are other distances in the world. There are that Ironman or that marathon. And that's tougher pound for pound for some bodies. But for somebody to complete their first sprint distance try, it's just as meaningful for them.
Yeah.
Love what we do, and it's amazing to see that.
35th year for the Chicago Triathlon. It's on Sunday. It kicks off today with the underwear run on the lakefront. Scott, give the website again.
ChicagoTriathlon.com.
It's great to see you, man. Thanks for coming in. Have fun on Sunday.
Thank you.
Tell Ryan hi.
It is 720 WGN.
when my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 7:14. Pete McMurray, Jane Monsouris, and Steve Cochran back on Monday. I want to wish my wife a very happy anniversary.
How sweet. How many years?
16. She didn't want me to say that because she said that it makes us sound old.
You guys got married when you were 14?
I said, Sarah, we have a 12-year-old. He's in seventh grade now, Charlie McMurray. I posted the picture on Facebook, our wedding party picture. Mm-hmm. You know, usually people are very stoic and smiling, looking at the camera. We wanted everybody to do something goofy. So it's a little crazy.
Yeah, everyone's going nuts. They look like they're having a great time.
Yeah, that was a fun wedding.
You don't look, I mean, looking at the picture, you and Sarah, nobody looks like they've changed at all. You would have done that pose yesterday.
That was 16 years ago, man.
God, yeah, you really haven't changed. Your brother, I recognize.
Can
one
you
of
tell
your
that I've lost weight?
I can see it in your cheeks a little bit.
I gain weight in my face when I gain weight. I was about 190 then. Now I'm 176.
And Sarah loved you because she's kissing your cheek.
Yes, she is. Isn't that nice?
Now, how old are those kids now? Well, I mean, they're 16 years older. I got that.
They've all graduated college.
I was going to say.
Yeah. It's funny. My niece is in the front row right there. They're all out of college now. One's in law school.
It's like a great wedding. Thanks for the invite.
I didn't know you then. I really didn't. I was leaving Rockford. Wait, that was 2000. When did I get married? 2001?
I was together. Here.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, wait, no, you were gone before I got to Bradley. Yes. I'm sorry. That's right.
But happy anniversary to my wife. If you want to check out that wedding picture, it's on my Facebook page, and I've tagged my entire family on it. So here's the deal. I have to run across the street to Nordstrom and buy a gift at 10 o'clock. Because somebody dropped the ball.
Somebody?
That was me. I dropped the ball. Okay. I did. I forgot all about it.
You do this every year. We hear the same story. You have to run across the street to Nordstrom. Then you're going to have Nordstrom actually wrap it, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see?
I work well under pressure. And I have some stuff to take back to Nordstrom. So
what are you going
to
get her?
It's going to be a wash.
What a real fancy handbag.
No. She doesn't. No, that's too much money.
Drop something. She's like a something lot of money. Like,
she'll get a nice shirt for, or two shirts for $100. It'll be nice. $100. You don't really spend much on your anniversary. You go out to dinner, right, Dave? Am I right? How much are you spending on your wife?
You year round or just on our anniversary?
Your anniversary. The gift for the anniversary.
Oh, let's see. I bought her this year. I bought her a bracelet.
Okay.
That she had kind of had designs on. A little pricier than ours.
That's really sweet.
Well, it's 32 years. That's twice as long as you've been married.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We don't do gifts for anniversaries.
Do you go out to dinner?
Yeah, we usually just go out to dinner.
Okay. We're going to dinner tonight and get a little small something. That'll be nice.
I can't believe people actually celebrate anniversaries. I'm thrilled to hear this.
Oh, yeah. If you stop celebrating, then I don't know.
We
feel like
dinner
it's over.
And an anniversary.
Okay.
Hey, it's hard work being married. You have to celebrate.
Pete's sweating.
You can say that again.
32 years here, me and Dave.
32.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, we were married the same year, not to each other.
Same year.
It's 7:17. Coming up next, we'll talk to Rob Stafford from NBC5, who's been out on medical leave since March. He returns to the airways on Monday. Let's take a look at traffic. Here's Mary. I love happy cancer stories. We found out in March that Rob Stafford from NBC5 Chicago was diagnosed with a rare blood disorder. Rob took a leave of absence from NBC for several months. He underwent bone marrow transplant and chemotherapy, and Rob returns to work on Monday, and he joins us now. First of all, congratulations. We've been sending prayers. Everyone here at GN and everyone all over the city. You got to be pretty overwhelmed with that.
I have been, and I really appreciate it, Pete. It's I'm not a real public person, despite what I do for a living, and I kind of debated, you know, how public to be with this. And I got to tell you, I've had thousands of people have reached out to me, have sent prayers, have lit candles, have sent notes, and it really helps me and my family get through this. So I'm incredibly humbled by it and very appreciative.
I saw the piece last night on the 10 o'clock news. My wife was bawling next to me. And people can, of course, go to NBCChicago.com and see that. But Allison, they didn't show her. When you were telling her the story, I felt like she was kind of choking up a little bit.
She's been with me every step of the way. I've seen her a lot, and I will tell you, she has seen me not at my best, Pete. This has been quite a workout for the last 6 months. But, she choked up. I try not to look over at her. It was hard when she's interviewing me, and I'm worried on Monday night. I know the night that I announced that I was going on leave for the transplant, I did not look at her during the entire newscast because I didn't want to lose it. So I can get through this stuff, but then I look over at Rosati,
right,
and then I lose it. So I try not to look.
Rob, the Mayo Clinic. You started out at the Mayo Clinic. I've been there. Unfortunately, I've had cancer that runs in my family too. But I mean, that place is a finely tuned machine, isn't it?
It is. It's like no other hospital I've ever been to. And you walk in, and it's organized almost like Disney World in a way. I mean, as you know, if you're walking down the hall, you even have a hint of a look that you don't know where you're going. Some customer service person comes up to you and directs you to your appointment. It's very well run. They're among the best in the world when it comes to amyloidosis, this rare disease that I have. And, we aimed for the fences and went for the stem cell transplant. We unfortunately did not get the results that we had hoped for with that. But the follow-up treatment I've gotten in Chicago at Rush has been extremely successful. So I think maybe the cumulative effect of starting with the transplant and then going to this sort of chemo cocktail that I'm on right now has me very, very close to remission. In fact, I may be in remission, but I can't confirm it until I have a bone marrow biopsy next month.
Well, we're praying that you are in remission. And I agree that Mayo Clinic, and I've been there with family members, and I always said it was kind of like going to, like, it's the Vegas of healthcare. You're at a convention, they give you, you're going to stop in this building at this time, you got a 2-hour break,
exactly,
and you're
right,
going to this building. So you got name tags, and everybody knows where you're going. We know that your amyloidosis is very, very rare, and there's all different types of amyloidosis. I have a friend's father who has the ATTR form, and mm-hmm. your form is called the light chain?
Light chain, yeah. And mine has focused on my kidneys, mm-hmm. and it can, yeah, there's cardiac amyloidosis, which is tougher. This one isn't great, no, that's good, but mine's on the kidneys. Fortunately for me, and thanks to my wife, I have a 2-year head start on dealing with this. Left to my own devices, I probably would not have detected it for another couple of years. And then you're heading toward being on dialysis. And so we got it early enough that the goal is to get to remission before your kidneys are damaged too much.
Well,
made a lot of progress.
Explain that to people, because you mentioned that last night, but you didn't mention how your wife found out or how she urged you to go to the doctor.
Well, there were warning signs, which I rationalized and tried to ignore. She's not the kind of person who lets you ignore things. But you know, she just had a hunch that something wasn't right for a while, even a couple of years, actually. Two big things were on a bike ride on the CalSag Channel, which, as you know, is flat as can be, no hills, and I couldn't keep up on an hour bike ride. And a couple of years ago, I was doing 20 miles with hills, and that didn't add up. We were out in Colorado, and 5 minutes into a hike in the mountains, I was just had to sit down, and that just was not normal for me. But I got my heart checked, and there was nothing wrong. And one test came back, and there was a slightly elevated protein level, which I wasn't going to really pursue because most of the tests came back, there's nothing really wrong with you. And I wanted to hear the nothing's really wrong with you part of it.
Right.
And she asked, well, what about the protein? I go, but they say, I'm okay. And she pushed me, and I got further tests. And when we pursued the protein, that's when we ended up with a kidney biopsy, and then the diagnosis up at the Mayo back in January is when they came through with the diagnosis.
Wow.
Always go through all the tests. I've heard a million stories like this. You always go through all the tests, and, you know, you're a perfect example.
Well, as you know, I mean, having faced cancer, you know, early detection is, my story is a story of early detection.
Right.
And this is a tricky disease to diagnose because most people haven't heard of it. Most doctors, it's just not on your radar. So you have to actively sort of ask questions and get to specialists who are familiar with it. And if you don't know what you have, it's kind of hard to go in the right direction. But I was very fortunate that we caught it in an early stage two. And I'm where I am right now before, you know, my kidneys have been damaged, but I am still in pretty good shape in terms of that.
Do you know, what you have is so, so rare. And like you said, doctors aren't aware. It's not on their radar. Do you know if this was hereditary or is
it? It is not.
It's not.
It is not.
Wow.
It is not, which is sort of a relief because, you know, you're a bunch of kids.
Right.
And don't scare the children. That's always sort of been our motto, though they're not, my kids are in their 20s now. And it's that. They have no idea why this occurs. Now, both my parents had cancer in their 50s. My mother had breast cancer. My dad had kidney cancer and lost the kidney to cancer and made it for 40 years on one kidney, which is all frankly that you really need. But it has nothing to do with that either. I've asked that. I've gone through everything, and they just have no idea what causes it.
It's crazy. Wow. But they've come leaps and bounds with blood cancers nowadays. And God bless you, man. I love the story last night. I can't wait to watch on Monday. You're just doing the 10 o'clock. Is that right?
I'm just going to do the 10 for a couple of weeks just to sort of get back into the swing of things. I have not, it's been 6 months. And but I feel great. I do. I feel for a while you have what's called chemo brain. I don't know if you've been through chemo, but you're just not clear. That has gone away. And my numbers have dropped like bad numbers dropped like a rock over the last 8 weeks. And I wouldn't go back if I were not, ready to do it.
Right.
And I would not go back if I didn't feel we had this thing under control. The doctors say we got it under control and you should go back to work. And my wife's getting tired of me being around the house every day. A lot of Rob Stafford for 6 weeks and poor Dick Johnson.
Right.
A fabulous job filling in 5 shows. I mean, every night. I'm Dick Johnson filling in for Rob Stafford. I am Rob Stafford.
And and Rob, you said right when we started talking, you're not a very public person, even though what you do for a living. Well, this sort of now you are you're the person creating awareness for amyloidosis and especially the light chain that you have. But what would you say to others listening right now, sitting at home, maybe battling a rare disease or a grave disease, and they're on their way back to health like you are? What would you say to them just to inspire them to keep going?
You can do it. You really can handle anything. And people do. I mean, they do. I've heard from thousands of people. Many of them, some haven't faced diseases. Many of them have. And people face what they have to face because they have a survival instinct. And they have people around them who care about them. And you just really have to take it one day at a time. It sounds cliche, but that's the way it is. You cannot jump too far ahead. And what this is actually, one other thing I'd like to say is you can never get, you literally live and die by the results of these blood tests. And I have learned not to, my expectations were so high after the transplant. I was really expecting remission and we didn't get it. And that was my one really bad day. June 26th when we got the results and waking up on the 27th thinking, hey, is anything going to work? You just have to hang in there and don't get too high and don't get too low, and just keep on keeping on. And ask your doctors all kinds of questions. Write them down before you go into the meeting. Go to the meeting with the doctors with the second person. It's really important to go with somebody else if you can and have them take notes, because you have to actively take charge. But I've learned that you just persevere, and if one thing doesn't work, you try the next thing.
Well, you're one of the best people, and congratulations, man. We'll be watching Monday night at 10 o'clock, Rob Stafford. Hello to your wife, Lisa, by the way, who is a saint going through this, too, by the way.
Oh, she's fabulous. I could not have done it. As a matter of fact, I mean, I'd still be doing the news and thinking nothing was wrong if it weren't for her.
Wow. Yeah. Rob Stafford. Thank you, Rob. We'll be watching Monday. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. You too. Take care.
All right.
Thanks,
see you, buddy. That is a great story right there.
I can't wait to see him back behind the anchor desk.
Power of prayer, man.
And positivity. Absolutely. Did you hear how positive he was?
He was.
And the support system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 7:34 at 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hemp. Dan Hemp anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
7:46, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzura, Steve Cochran, back on Monday. Danimal, always brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. You can go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's bring in number 99, Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. Hamp, how are you, man?
Pete, it is so great to visit with you, and I guess Steve will be back on Monday after he gets his personality transplant. That's great. Wow. Oh, it would be great.
Let's talk about the second half of the game on Sunday. Are you happy?
So far, so good. And you know what? I mean, you know, I think it was the British that said, hey, after every other possibility is exhausted, they'll finally do the right thing. Well, this is the right thing. You got to give young quarterback a chance. You got to and see, Pete, so much of the time, you know, when you're with OBE and Kaz and I, and you know, we're basically pragmatic. Hey, you got to do the right thing. You got to do the right thing or you lose the team. And giving Trubisky a shot with the number ones, that's it really is. It's the right thing to do. Otherwise, the whole team will go, you know, everybody – they'll roll their eyes and go, are you really? Are you really, you know, kidding me? It's the right thing to do. So I'm real happy about it.
They see it, Hamp, right? I mean, your teammates see it. If a guy's got it and even
– Well, don't you guys see it? I see it.
Yeah, but I'm
I
saying
see it.
But that's my point, that the
he
guys
can roll
who are out
there – pass. I'll take him.
The guys who are out there every day are seeing this.
Absolutely. And look – every once in a while, you can kind of fool, you know, a teammate or but sooner or later, when you watch it on film, when you watch it in practice, there's no denying it. And the kid's got something. Ryan Pace, you know, we all went nuts about him, you know, trading up to get this kid. Now we know why. He's got something special. And to basically, you know, keep it, under wraps would be ridiculous. And this weekend, of all weeks, we're going to play a quarterback that is very similar. Marcus Mariota, the Heisman Trophy winner of 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever it is. I mean, very similar skill set. Guy that's, you know, able to get out of the pocket, make things happen. And, you know, this offense the Bears have with the running game, I mean, it could be something special with that added dimension of what Mitch Trubisky brings, which is getting outside, the boots, the draws, the bootlegs, all those different things. Hey, you know, not everybody's got it. This kid's got it.
WGN on the phone with us, number 99, Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. Hamp, are you guys on after the game on Sunday?
Say that again?
Are you on after the game on Sunday? You're not. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. You're not doing preseason. You're golfing. You're golfing after the game.
We're working overtime trying to get, you know, OB back ready to go for this season. So, I mean, it's going to be one of those projects. No, he's doing great. I played golf with him yesterday in a tournament, and OB is, he is ready to go for the year.
Charles Leno Jr. was signed to a four-year contract extension through 2021. Are you on board with this?
Yes. And, you know, as far as the offensive line, we all know the left tackle is the guy that everybody's looking for. Everybody needs, not only competent, but a good left tackle. But, well, guess what? This young man, he's worked hard. He has he's earned the contract, and I couldn't be happier for him because you either got one or you don't. Well, guess what? This kid's worked hard. You don't know his name because he hasn't been an issue, and that's a great thing. When you don't know an offensive lineman's name, that means he's not getting in trouble.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And. Being able to have him and Kyle Long, once he's fully healthy, ready to go, you've really solidified at least one side of your offensive line. Mm-hmm. From basically from center to tackle, you should be in pretty good shape, right?
Yes, sir. And, you know, let me just say this. Bobby Massey was signed to, you know, to be the masher at right tackle, and he struggled. He struggled with speed rushers early last year. But from October on, he has played really good. And so far in the preseason, both of the offensive tackles have been terrific. Now, like you said about Kyle Long, we've got to get that kind of stabilized. We don't know what's going to go on. Right now, with Kyle Long, injured and trying to recover, they moved Cody Whitehair to left guard. Grasso is still, going to play center. They need to get that kind of figured out. Josh Sitton is moved from left guard to right guard, the position that he was playing when he played up in Green Bay and doing very well at right guard. So, we got a little bit of a musical chair thing going, but sooner or later, we got to get that stabilized.
Hamp, real quick, let's flip to defense because Akeem Hicks didn't play last week. I guess he was practicing again yesterday. Seems like this defensive line, they're building some depth there. And there's some young guys like this Roy Robertson Harris, who couldn't play last year because he was ill. Jonathan Bullard, some other guys, some names that maybe Bears fans aren't all that familiar with. It looks like they're going to have an impact.
I got to tell you that Robertson Harris, have you looked at him in his uniform? I mean, he looks the part. He's 6'7", 295 pounds. He moves like he's 240. I mean, this kid, he could be one of those kind of diamond in the rough type individuals that you never know what you got until you actually see him on the field making some plays. Last week, he had a couple of sacks. He made a couple of good plays against the run, and you mentioned Jonathan Bullard. Jonathan Bullard started pretty well last year, and then he kind of faded out of view through November and December. Well, guess what? He's back. He's a little bigger and a little stronger, but he's got a great first step. He probably will be the other starting five technique. Akeem Hicks will be on the right side. He'll be the one on the left. But he and Eddie Goldman, I mean, young defensive linemen that will help us a lot, especially in second long, third long.
Hamp, I got to ask you about Colin Kaepernick. There was a rally in New York in front of NFL headquarters that this kid should be signed to a team. Should he be signed to a team? Is he being blackballed, or is he just not that good anymore? Or is it a little bit of both?
Well, I think it's a combination of all of that. You know, most teams, they don't want the drama. Hey, it is what it is. You got to take the whole package. But if he was, Tom Brady could, act like he didn't want to support the flag and not stand up, well, guess what? Somebody would probably.
Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance.
It is 8:14. Happy Friday, everybody. We got a lot of stuff going on this weekend in the city. In studio with us, the commissioner of the DCASE. Let me see if I can figure that out, Mark. The Department of Cultural Affairs. What's SE?
Come on, you can do it.
Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events.
Yeah!
You nailed it.
That was great.
Mark Kelly in studio.
He's
it's good
awake.
To see you, man. What do we have going on in Chicago this weekend?
We have a tsunami of dance coming to Millennium Park.
You got rhythm?
I do.
Really?
I'm a drummer.
Are you really?
So I better have rhythm.
The drummer is always the craziest one in the band. So you got a little crazy in you.
I don't know if the drummer is the drummer is the mainstay of all music.
Come on. They're all crazy.
All right. Yeah. Now and then.
Right. So what's going on? Tell us about this dance thing.
So it's a new citywide event, Summer Dance Celebration. So we all know Summer Dance. It's been with Chicago for 21 years. Actually, it's the largest social dance event in the country. And in its 21st year, for the first time, we're moving it into Millennium Park. And so it's three stages. It's over 35 dance companies. It's DJs.
Wow.
It's dancing. It's the citizen dancer, as we call it, the social dancing intersecting professional dance. So we'll have a stage at Wrigley Square. Every 15 minutes, a new dance company. So there'll be 28 dance companies.
Wow.
Jazz, classical, Indian, hip-hop, contemporary.
Wow.
In front of the Bean, another stage. We'll have summer dance on stepping, the African-American swing style.
Yeah, that's fun.
We'll have this kick butt competition on footwork. So we have selected 10 finalists from around the city in competitions.
I need to work on my footwork. I do.
You should do
I'm confident you wouldn't make it, Pete. I hate to say it.
Come on, Mark.
No, I'll have 20 minutes, and he knows.
If you see the footwork, it's a Chicago street style dance form. Think of it as breakdancing staying up. And the 10 finalists will compete. They'll also be the most versatile dancer competition where couples dance. About every 30 seconds, the music switches.
What?
And if
wow.
And if you don't capture the new beat, the new rhythm,
right, you're
tapped and you're out until there's the winner. Then we go to the Pritzker Pavilion that evening. Five Chicago dance companies have been commission for new work. These are dance companies that you might not know their names, like Red Clay, but these are extraordinary dance companies who will blow your socks off.
Like Chicago Dance Crash. Those guys are absolutely amazing. I've worked with them at so many events, and they just tear it up on the dance floor. They're amazing to watch. I was so happy to see their name there.
Move Me Soul, Brave Soul Movement, The Era, they'll be all performing.
I have never heard of this. Jane, you've heard of this before. I feel bad. I mean, this sounds fantastic.
Well, so the summer, the summer dance happens over the weekends. Now, this is new that they're bringing it to Millennium Park, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So imagine, I'm hoping we're going to have the largest audience ever in Chicago for dance just because of the power of this. And it's not just come and be edified by dance, be a dancer. So we're then going to close the evening with a house DJ set for everyone to dance in front of the Bean.
So anybody can dance?
Fun.
Anybody. So there, Pete, you can come too.
So anybody can show up? Is this free?
It's free.
Free.
It's everywhere. It goes from
everywhere
noon
in Millennium Park
till 9:30 p.m.
All day long.
It's for kids. There'll be social dancing on the Great Lawn in the afternoon. So imagine the Great Lawn and the Pritzker Pavilion filled with hundreds, maybe thousands of individuals all dancing together in some steps that they quickly learn.
So you can dance, but you can also be entertained watching others dance and the professional groups dancing.
Right,
in fact,
that's the intent. So the citizen dancer, social dancing, and professional dance, we tend to think of them as separate and in different quadrants, but we want them together. We want everyone to better appreciate the power of professional dance in the city. But it's not just to be the audience. Everyone's a dancer.
Right. Just dance.
Some are better than
others. Let loose.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a little rhythm. All my shoes are dancing shoes. That's what I would say.
We have a great city. I mean, I feel like nobody does what we do during the summertime.
So there is, and it's important for our listeners to understand this. There is nothing like Millennium Park, not just in the country, but we think the world. So imagine 90 free events. And these aren't just a little band. This is, you know, we'll have Jazz Fest coming
right
in a week. We have Fifth Star Honors coming on Monday. Mm-hmm. Just every day there's something powerful and glorious. And then all of the great public art. It's also inviting. It's centered in the city. It's yep. our town square.
There's so much to
you
do.
You can't go to New York and find that. You
no.
can't go to L.A. You can't go to yeah. London or Paris yeah. or Berlin.
And mention the Fifth Star Honors happening on Monday.
So we're back in Pritzker Pavilion Monday evening, 6:30, and we're going to honor our cultural heroes. So, but don't think of it as an award ceremony. It's going to be performative. We're honoring Common, great Chicago hip-hop artist, now actor,
right.
fashion designer, sure. man about town.
Super nice guy. Yeah.
Kerry James Marshall, arguably the hottest, most important visual artist in this country and one of the most important in the world. Jeannie Gang, renowned architect who has just a small 95-story building going up right now on the Chicago River.
And, oh, that thing.
Uh-huh. And Steppenwolf Theater, which has had this storied tradition of in-your-face theater. But we're going to honor them by bringing to life their body of work. It's not talking heads. So when we honor Jeannie Gang, imagine a choreography, if you will, of her work showing up on the screen to music
wow.
and to dance.
That's
so
see.
So the honorees sit in the audience and just get to enjoy. And then we're going to close with an incredible concert. Some of the most important vocalists in Chicago across genre, J.C. Brooks, D. Alexander, Kelly Hogan, the list goes on, all singing Chicago songs. Because as we honor our cultural heroes, we really want to honor the creative impulse of the city and the great cultural life of the city, because
right.
it is extraordinary.
And remember, this is the first one is on Saturday, the Summer Dance Celebration, and Fifth Star Honors happening on Monday.
Yeah.
Free.
Free.
To the public.
Free, free.
Free, free, free. What's the website for
Total
more information?
Production. I love it.
Yeah.
The website is
City of Chicago.
Yeah,
they can Google it.
Go out there. Yeah, don't ask me.
Just
a hard question
show up,
like
right?
That.
That's all you need.
I do want to give props to Allstate Insurance. They're the sponsor for the Fifth Star Honors on Monday.
They are.
Our good friends
do
at
it without them.
Yes. Mark Kelly, the commissioner of the DCASE. That's easier to say, the acronym.
Right D-Case.
There. D-Case. Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
Like
have
fun.
A good
I can't
weekend.
Wait.
Let's dance out into
dance out.
Traffic with Mayor.
But I got smarter, I got harder in the nick of time. Honey, I rose up from the dead, I do it all the time. I got a list of names and yours is in red underlined. I check it once, then I check it twice. Oh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do.
So that's Taylor Swift's new song, right?
I was just about to say, do you know who that is? Because it doesn't sound like Taylor Swift, does it?
I mean,
it sounds like Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
A little bit different for Taylor. Yeah, she dropped her new single at midnight.
Didn't it used to be released on Tuesdays? Remember the Tuesday release? Now
yeah,
it's like Thursday night before the weekend.
When you're the big pop stars, you pick the day, right?
I guess,
yeah, Gaga's releasing one too. Some weird photos or something.
Well,
today?
We're going to get to that, Mary. She's releasing a Netflix docu-series. We're going to get to that in a little bit.
What the heck is that?
All right.
So Taylor dropped a new single. Half the people on Twitter liked it. Half the people don't. We're all going to be singing it by next week. It's called Look What You Made Me Do, which is what she was just singing. There you go. That's Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, midnight. People
Dave's
are all
not impressed.
Crazy. All the Swifties are going bananas.
Yeah, you can always tell when it's one of her songs because there's always a lot of lyrics because she likes the written word. You know, there's a lot of written lyrics in there, but yeah, she just sounds really breathy, Britney-like.
Can we backtrack for a second? Her followers are called Swifties?
Yeah, Swifties.
Okay. Not Swifters?
I think it's also taken. It's a mop, isn't
don't
it?
Don't act Swifters. Like you don't know that they're called Swifties.
I am sorry. I swear to you.
Mr. Instagram and Facebook.
This
and
is the first time I don't follow her on Instagram.
I thought they were Tay Tays.
Oh. I think you pick a side. You're either a Tay Tay or you're a Swiftie.
I've heard that.
We need to beat that.
No, I didn't say that
word. Oh, okay.
Right. The album is her sixth studio album, Reputation, will be
she
released.
She only has six
November
albums?
10th.
That's
I think
it?
Six is a lot. She's 12 and she has six albums. I mean, she has a lot of albums. Okay. Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
Returned to SNL Weekend Update last night. He was iffy about returning to SNL earlier this summer, said he may not come back and do any more of his impersonation of Trump, but he did it. And he did when Trump was in Phoenix doing the rally. He did that.
Okay. From last night.
Didn't you want to be everybody's president?
No, I'm just a lonely, sad fat.
Okay.
Did you see it?
It was funny last night. Yeah. He did a good job.
And
they said goodbye
to
Steve Bannon, you know, the the death guy that comes
the Grim
out.
Grim Reaper.
Yes, thank you.
He came
the
out death guy. Thank you.
The Grim Reaper.
Anybody into Dancing with the Stars? Mary?
Yep.
Yeah, she loves it. Oh, so yeah. The pros announced yesterday, so some of your favorites are back. One of them is Mark Ballas.
Yes.
He
so
left.
So quirky and so
never
strange.
Heard of him.
So talented, by the way. You know, he sings, he has a band, he plays guitar, and
is
he's
he
a fabulous
Swiftie?
Singer.
Didn't he just get married, too?
He just got married, yeah, absolutely. Okay. He's been gone for two seasons to perform on Broadway and prepare for his wedding. There you go. Now he's back. Another surprise to the dance floor. She left after season 23 to pursue other options and activities. Cheryl Burke.
Oh, I love Cheryl.
She was one of the originals.
All right, I love Cheryl.
Everybody
now you
loves
got me.
Cheryl.
She's bringing her A game. She's bringing her A game. She's back to the ballroom. And then a lot of your old favorites coming back, but the star partners will be revealed on September 6th.
Oh, is that
big? Is Max back? That's all I
Max is back.
Okay, Peta.
Val is
Peta's
back. And then Mrs. Max now is back. Peta.
Murgatroyd.
Peta is back.
Murgatroyd. Yeah.
Sharna's
whatever.
Back. Lindsay's back. Whitney's back.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's like you guys are speaking French now. I know Cheryl.
I know Cheryl. Can I say a little opening to who some of the A-listers looking for the Mirrorball Trophy might be?
Okay.
I don't know if they're A-listers. One of the Property B-listers. Brothers.
The rumors?
One of the Property Brothers.
Oh, I heard that. Okay.
And then also
which one?
Spicy.
One of the what brothers?
Property Brothers.
Sean Spicer is not going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
He's denied that he's
no
going to
way.
Do it. He's denied. He says,
I don't know. He called last night and said, I think I'm
you know
really
who would do it is Scaramucci.
Mooch, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He would absolutely do that
Mooch
in a heartbeat.
Would be great.
Can we call the DWTS hotline and recommend Mooch?
How about Mooch and Spice, both of them?
That'd be great.
We could have a team.
As a tandem, they could dance with each other.
All the fired Trump administration.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we done? Thank you for that entertainment update.
Well, you want any more?
How about one more, and then we got to go?
You want highest paid male, female, and all across the world actors or Brangelina? Oh, no. I promise this to Mary. Lady Gaga.
Okay.
More personal look into an original documentary called Gaga, 5'2". She announced the documentary by a series of teasers on social media. That's what you were seeing, Mary, all those weird pictures.
Ugh, you're awful.
Yeah, so she just said it's about her being in the spotlight, and then all of a sudden she is alone. And so she says, I'm not going to see the documentary before any of you because she doesn't like to watch herself because she cannot be critical of herself.
She's got to be waking up in Chicago this morning, right?
Absolutely.
Probably. Wait, is she only
5'2"? Sure?
She's number one. I was most surprised she's only 5'2". And yes, she's playing at Wrigley tonight.
She's probably flying in today. She's not here yet.
I don't know.
She's
you don't think
here.
She caught Green Day last night?
You think her and...
I don't know.
She wanted to see the stage set up.
You think her and Taylor Kinney go out and do a little... Yeah.
I think Taylor's at the show tonight for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You can see that documentary Netflix September 22nd.
All right. Thank you, Jane. It's 8:32. It's 7:20. WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:43, Pete McMurray, Jane Monsouris, Dave Ennett sitting alongside. It's not every day the Incredible Hulk comes in the studio. He'll be at the Wizard World Comic Con this weekend in Rosemont at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center on River Road. You can go to wizardworld.com. It is Lou Ferrigno. It's good to see you.
Good morning. How are you?
You're in great shape, man. Did you just get done benching?
No, that's Lou over there.
Oh. I know. Don't you love this guy?
You were saving that one. That was good.
You're 65?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you're in fantastic shape.
I work out. I stay in shape. That's why I look younger, because it's all about positive living. And combine your mind, your health to be rich and good shape.
In good shape.
How often are you working out? Every day?
I train about 6 to 7 days a week. I do 40 minutes of cardio, 20 minutes of weight training. I've been working out now for 53 years.
53 years? Yeah. I guess that's right.
I hope it paid off. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it has. Has your style of training, obviously it's changed over the years, but you do 40 minutes of cardio and 20 minutes of
weight training. Yeah, what kind of cardio are you doing at 65?
The training has changed. I don't train heavy, but I train very consistently to maintain what I have. I train fast and get the heart rate going.
What kind of cardio are you doing?
I do the elliptical training, I do the stationary bike, and then...
So low-impact stuff.
Yeah, Stairmaster, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Wow, you've been working out for 53 years.
Yep. Isn't that amazing?
Man, so you were Mr. Universe.
Mr. America, Mr. International, Mr. Universe twice. I was the youngest person to win the IVB Mr. Universe at the age of 21.
What do you get for that back in the day? What'd you get?
Nothing.
You got nothing.
A trophy.
Yeah, that's it.
And you had to pay for your own breakfast.
Right.
No.
You got nothing. You had to go to work after that, right?
Well, I was a sheet metal worker by trade. But I took time off to train for the competition. Like, the first competition was the Geneva, Switzerland. So I went there. I remember that you get a trophy. There was no money. And as a matter of fact, when I competed with Schwarzenegger in the Mr. Olympia competition,
right,
first prize was $750.
$750. That's
yes.
It.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, we all had to have jobs to make a living. It wasn't like today. Today, you can make like between $150,000 and $200,000 if you win first prize like the Mr. Olympia or the Arnold Classic.
Wow. Could you go back as a judge and maybe make a little scratch?
Could be.
I just think it's great that the Hulk is in studio with us.
I know. It's amazing. We're just here with you in person. What, back then, when you are doing that competition and you're making, if you win, you get $750, you got to go back and be a sheet metal worker. Did you have any idea, or did you see your future saying, I want to be an actor, I want to be an icon?
Well, I never told anyone because I was very shy. I was introverted at the time. And I remember when I did the docudrama called Popping Onion. Mm-hmm. I liked being in front of the camera. But then when I went down for the audition for the Hulk, then I realized this is my stepping stone. And then from that, I ended up doing over 40 films. I've done 5 different TV series. And it just grew with the acting.
Tell me about growing up, because you were bullied as a kid, right?
Very. Yeah, I had to overcome adversity because when I was very young, I lost a major part of my hearing. I was bullied. And I was like the Hulk my whole life. So I took up weight training because when I was like 12, 13 years old, I was very thin. I got beat up a lot. So I wanted to be strong and powerful. But then I discovered bodybuilding. That changed my life.
And when did you start competing? How old were you?
19.
19.
My first competition was the Open Mr. New Jersey Hercules competition. I came 23rd place.
Really?
And then 2 years later, I won Mr. America, Mr. Universe, Mr. International, Teenage America. Every contest I competed, I've won.
So do you see yourself, I mean, back in the day when you won Mr. Universe, you see yourself on the front cover of a magazine and you're thinking, I didn't make any money for that.
Back then, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people thought that
right.
I made a lot of money.
Yeah, they thought you were a million. Oh, my God, he's on the cover of a magazine. This guy's right. Got millions.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
And when did you quit the sheet metal?
Well, I quit when I won the second Mr. Universe. Then eventually I went to California because I wanted to pursue my career as a bodybuilder.
Right.
But then the Hulk came along. And then I did the Hulk. I'd done different TV series. And I came back at the age of 42 to compete again because I wanted to fulfill that missing link of me. I want to be in my best shape. I came back at the age of 42. I was 330 pounds with 2% body fat.
2%.
Wow, at 42.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's kind of like stand-up comics. They, if they're a stand-up comic, they do the circuit, then they go get their TV show or their sitcom or what have you, and then they come back and do more stand-up. You do the bodybuilding competitions, then you went out, you had your career, and you've had the TV shows and the movies, uh-huh. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to come back
to what I know and what I love and where it all started.
So now, 20 years later, today, I have my own bodybuilding, the IBB NPC Bodybuilding Fitness Classic Physique Bikini Competition in Palm Springs. And this year, we're taking over the Palm Springs Expo Center. We're going to have over 300 booths. I'm doing that with my family, with my son. It's a mega competition, the best show in the West Coast.
I'm going to take a look at traffic, but I want you to answer a question when we come back. Dave Ennett works out. Jane works out. I work out.
Good.
Who's in the best shape in the studio? Hold that thought.
Can Luke come down to the Tribune Gym with us?
Yeah.
Just walk in there.
He can train us.
Lou Ferrigno in studio with us. Mary, what's going on with traffic? Lou Ferrigno in studio with us. He'll be at Comic-Con this weekend. You can go to wizardworld.com. Now, before the break, I asked you who's in better shape, Dave Ennett, Jane Monsuris, or Pete McMurray?
Strip down, put your bathing suit on, and then
I am not.
Pete, you go first.
You don't want me to strip down.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
We got three women in here.
Yeah.
And two guys.
Yeah.
Besides me and this guy.
Yeah. Besides me and
this
guy.
If you already had to take your clothes off, would the women do it in the bathing suit, or would you get?
Listen, if I could train a little
okay.
bit more, I might.
That's my honest opinion.
Okay. So you got to see us without a shirt.
This is no joke.
Right.
No, it's fair.
Okay.
Because you're sitting down, it's hard to judge who's in best shape.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
I don't want to piss off the women, though.
No, you don't want to upset them.
Good call, Lou.
I want to ask you about The Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
There was 1977 to 1981.
Correct.
Bill Bixby became like a mentor to you, didn't he?
Yes, he was. He was a close friend, mentor. I learned a lot from him because I never acted before. I used to watch him film. He was a wonderful director and a producer. So I learned a lot from him.
I grew up watching the courtship of Eddie's father on WGN-TV.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems like such a likable guy.
He is. He's very reclusive, but on the set, being with him, he was a real licensed magician. But it's just he had a wonderful attitude, and his personality was wonderful.
Oh, that's right. He had that series, The Magician.
The Magician, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was a licensed magician.
Now, was he a director, too, during The Incredible
Hulk?
At
the end, he directed a few of the episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Lou Ferrigno in studio with us. Were you a trainer back in the day? Did you ever train people?
30 years. Michael Jackson, Chuck Norris, Randy Travis. I can go on and on. 20 years, Michael Jackson.
20 years?
On and off, yes. I kept it a secret.
What was he doing?
Well, he wanted tone, he wanted flexibility because he wanted someone to coach him. So he would come to my house at 10 o'clock at night from 10 to 12. And I said to Michael, I said, you know, Michael, I said, I'm going to have to charge a lot more money because I'm taking time away from my family. He goes, sure, no problem. I mean, he would come with the SUV, had to open the gate, he had his entourage, he'd come with the Mac, with the glove. But the guy was phenomenal.
Really?
There's no one like him. Very sincere, good person. We were close friends.
How much did he weigh?
Probably 138. Maybe.
And how tall was he? Was he 5'10"?
6 feet.
Six feet tall? So he weighed 130 and he was 6. He had no muscle on his body.
No, he wanted to be more toned, but it's just that he was getting older. And the fact that Michael, the way he moved, there's no one like him.
Was he serious about the workouts? Did he put in a good effort?
He did at times because not about building muscle. We would do a very light training, like with bands.
Sure, yeah.
And I use like the rubber ball. But one night, I think it was about 11:30, he said, could you turn the stereo up? So I had a stereo, and he wanted to practice his moonwalk. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God. I said, people pay thousands of dollars just to be this close to him, and he's moving around doing the moon dance. I've never seen anything like it.
Really? Just in your living room right there?
Yeah, the way he's almost like he walks on air.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris seems like a tough guy.
Wow.
What was he like?
Great guy.
Really?
He's my best student.
Really?
Everything I told him, he did it. If I said three more extra reps, he would do it.
I feel like I'm that guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
What? Could we work out together?
We'll do a push-up competition.
I mean, what are you benching nowadays? What are you doing?
I used to bench 560. Now I do machines. I'll use heavy free weights.
Do you do dumbbells? You don't do dumbbells?
A light dumbbell.
Okay. Because we're working for the cuts now. You get to a certain age.
Yeah, the definition of a toning.
Yeah. Well, like, what's a light dumbbell to you?
Well, like 30, 40, 50 pounds.
What?
Oh, okay. What?
I used to use 140 to 150 pounds.
In each hand?
Yes, any chance.
Did you blow out your shoulder at all?
No.
Really?
No.
So no major injuries?
No, never had any major injuries in the gym, no.
Okay.
It's a machine. Even your knees, fine?
Oh, my knee, both knees and both hips replaced.
Oh, you did?
Wow.
That's
right.
That's always fun going through an
and
airport.
Still, I can still squat and do different exercises. Uh-huh.
What they can do with new hips. I have two buddies that just had it.
Yeah.
New hips, and they're up and walking right away.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like a science.
Can Luke, I ask quickly, when you were playing the Hulk and you had all the green makeup on, did you ever find any in like cracks of your ears and, you know, on the weekend? Your wife's like, oh, you got a little bit extra hair.
My toenails were green for 6 months afterward.
Wow. I just couldn't get the green out.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that every time I would take two or three showers, I would go to the gym the next day and work out. Great. And I have a tank top. And as I'm sweating, the green will come through the port. I mean, it'd be all over the T-shirt. It's just for like for days afterward. Oh, yeah, horrible.
Do you ever do a home workout tape or anything? Did you ever think of doing that?
I did. I've written a couple of books. I have the website now called FerricNoFit.com. My daughter and I, and it teaches you how to become your own personal trainer. Customize my meal plan, any age, any type. Very successful. So we're focusing on that.
Lou Ferrigno could be a McMurray. I mean, he kind of has that look, the big nose and the hair.
Yeah, you guys could be brothers for sure. Right? Absolutely. I want you to just inspire people really quick. People that are not working out currently, maybe they did in the past, maybe they never have. What would you say to somebody who's listening that's like, I want to work out, I'm a little bit nervous. Like, how do you get somebody excited to get to the gym or even do a home workout? What do you say?
Well, if they want to go to my website, I would suggest maybe begin slow. Start out slow, like, for example, walking, but don't overtrain, because too many individuals that go to the gym, they train too much and they get discouraged. It takes time, maybe 3 times a week, maybe to train, maybe like for the first few weeks, maybe like 30 minutes to 40 minutes, lightweight training, find a trainer, or read some information how to train properly.
I feel like I need to do push-ups right now.
You just heard that from Lou Ferrigno.
Push-ups.
I'm going to do push-ups.
You see, what I want to do right now,
I
mentioned it before, I want to be the head of the President of Council of Physical Fitness and Nutrition.
You don't want to work for this president. Wait for the next one. He's got a little crazy.
Are you hate Trump?
No, I don't like crazy people.
I want you to get fired.
Well, to be honest with you, it's politics. I stay out of politics.
Okay.
I've been asked to be in politics. I had no desire to be a politician. It's a tough game, and I'm telling you, Joe, I wish him the best. But apparently, I'm more concerned about making America healthy.
And yes.
What is your website that people can go to?
It's called FerrignoFit.com.
FerrignoFit.com.
Yeah.
Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. Thanks for coming in. I'll be at Comic-Con all weekend long.
Thank you.
All right. It's good to see you. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Two counts of murder have been filed against Lyle and Eric Menendez.
Defendants Eric and Lyle Menendez, you've been charged with murder. How do you plead?
Not guilty.
Jose Menendez, he rode those boys hard.
Oh, it's blood everywhere.
These are not violent people.
Everybody thinks we were this perfect family. But we were a disaster.
How good does that sound?
Oh, that sounds so good.
Wow.
I can't wait.
720 WGN. We're joined by CLTV, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris. Our next guest is a Chicago guy, born and bred in Evanston. Went on to star in Platoon, Desperate Housewives, played Duck in Mad Men. This fall, he stars as Gil Garcetti in the new NBC series, Law & Order True Crime, The Menendez Murders. It's our buddy Mark Moses. Moses, wow. This sounds great. I've watched two trailers. I can't wait for this show.
You know, I can't either. And I can't wait till I even finish the show. We're just about halfway through shooting right now. So it's very exciting. How are you, Jane? How are you, Pete? Good this morning?
Yeah, everything is great. I can't believe you're still shooting the show.
Yeah, it's gonna air September 28th on NBC.
Uh-huh.
And they're still, you know, they got all the pre-hype and everything out early for this show, because everybody knows the case, or
right.
Many people remember the case, and some people don't, because it was a while ago. But it's quite interesting. And when I went back to reread it, you find out more things about this case. They had actually three trials. And, you know, it goes on and on. And Edie Falco is playing the leech, and she's just terrific in it. She's going to be great.
Is that a real hair, Mark, or is that a wig?
You mean on who? On Edie?
Yes, on Edie. Are you wearing a wig?
No, I only wear a wig in public. I don't take it off when I act. You know? But, yeah, these days, who knows? I understand it's your anniversary, Pete.
It is. How'd you find out?
And how, you know, I have little people that come and tell me all sorts of secrets. And how many years has it been?
It's 16 years today, Mark.
Oh, my God. She deserves a major award.
She does.
Let me just say that I met Moses years ago and we became fast friends because, number one, we like drinking beer. And number two, we love the Cubs. And I think it accelerated
exactly
2 years ago when we were scrambling around for playoff tickets. So you would come to town and we would hang out. We hung out a lot. And then I remember going to New York last fall and watching a playoff game in an Irish pub with you and my brother Johnny.
Which was really fun.
Yes.
And maybe the only way we were going to see the Cubs game at that time, because we stood on how many corners to try to get tickets.
Wow.
And it didn't really work.
Yeah.
No matter how much tap dancing we did. But we went to one or two ourselves.
Right.
And what an exciting year for the Cubs. I mean, just fantastic. And now they're up about, what is it, about three games right now.
Yeah, they lost last night.
Half of the season. They did lose. I watch it here all the time in New York.
Right.
A little bit later. But, you know, they're coming back, and hopefully they get the pitching together, and we'll be very excited for that. But, yeah.
Well, here's a question for you. You lived in L.A. for years. You grew up in Evanston, lived in L.A. for years. Why New York?
I was actually born in New York City. My father was kind of a madman himself. Working on Madison Avenue. And then when I was about 3 years old, they moved to Evanston. And so I always was told stories about my mom and dad meeting here. She was an airline stewardess and he was an advertising exec. And then he was the advertising manager for the Chicago Sun-Times for a while.
Oh, wow.
No kidding.
We used to go down there and watch the papers come off the printing press when they used to actually print papers years ago. And it was exciting. He got tickets to stuff being in the newspaper business.
Right.
You know, and it was great. He worked right near WGN Radio, right around the corner.
I'm looking at where the Sun-Times used to be. I can look right over and see it right now. When did you catch the acting bug? Were you here? Was it in Evanston when you were young?
It was just sort of a freak thing. I happened to have gotten in an argument with my basketball coach, and so he tossed me off the team, and there was nothing to do, and so I joined the YMCA Brilliant Teen Musical. And I went in there because there was lots of girls and it was lots of parties. And then the acting bug kind of caught and I got rid of it again. And then it came back to me. I said, I'm going to give this a try. And so I came to NYU to study. And that's one of the reasons I was back here. When I studied acting, I went to NYU and I was here for about 8 years. And then I went to Los Angeles after that.
Wow.
What was your big break?
To do Platoon.
That was the big break? Platoon. Okay.
Well, yes, you know, the first break I had was on Broadway with Kevin Bacon and Sean Penn doing a play called Slab Boys. And then, you know, that faded down a little bit and you did some more theater. But the first break I had in terms of film was the first film I did, which was Platoon. And it was a huge break and it brought me to Los Angeles.
Wow. I remember when that came out, my poli sci teacher served in Vietnam, and I remember him telling us about it, and it's like it touched me to a point where it was just such an emotional time when that movie came out.
It was an emotional time, and it was a time around 1986 or 87 where I think the conscience of America was sort of able to accept the vet, and it took
right.
quite a while for us to get over Vietnam, and around the time the film came out, if you remember, there weren't too many films, maybe Apocalypse Now and Full Metal Jacket, but after that film came out, there were TV series
right.
and films.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone sort of re-examined it. So it shows you about how long it takes us to get over something. Now, how long it's going to take us to get over Trump, it could be 20 years.
But it's always good to go back and rewatch Platoon. Like, you see it, and sometimes I don't go back and watch a movie, but that's when you want to go back and
watch. Well, all the stars in that movie.
I know, yeah.
Well, you know, a friend of mine named Paul Sanchez, who played the doctor in Platoon, he just did a documentary on a 30-year retrospective on Platoon. And he got everybody involved that was in the film, including Johnny Depp and Charlie Sheen and Tom Berenger and Willem Dafoe and Keith David and Tony Todd. And they all came and it's going to be I saw it. It's actually quite entertaining because there's a lot of stuff you don't know about it. So it's going to be out this year.
We're talking with Mark Moses. Back to the Menendez murders for a second. What did you find out? Well, you're in the middle of it right now filming. What did you find out that you didn't know back then?
You know, you learn a little more about how they came back to defend themselves with all the accusations of sexual abuse. and a lot of the stuff I did not know. And even to this day, you kind of wonder whether were they sexually abused? Did they use it as an alibi?
Right.
Was it true? Was it not? What you really realize is that the family was incredibly dysfunctional, obviously.
Right.
And these kids, you know, murdered their parents. And so, you know, it was a horrendous headline attention grabbing kind of deal when it happened. And so you do learn the intricacies of what happened with the cases and how they defended them. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah.
I was a huge fan of the OJ series on FX. I thought Travolta, Sarah Paulson was just off the charts fantastic. Did you watch that series?
I did watch part of it, but I also watched the, was it on, I'm not sure what channel, but it was the OJ actual documentary, the 10-part series.
ESPN?
Which is the one I watched. Yeah. Yes, and I also lived in Los Angeles at that time, so I didn't want to get too oversaturated with
That's
it.
That's right.
At that time, I remember the Bronco going down the freeway and the riots and the Rodney King riots. So I was there during that time. And, you know, I didn't need as much refreshing as other people did on that topic.
Right, because you were living it. When you're shooting...
It was a little scary. Yeah, it was a little scary. That that riot came straight up Sunset Boulevard, and I was living in Los Feliz. And it was a little scary at that time, yeah. So, yeah.
When you're shooting this Menendez murders, and you know the story, and you say you're learning a little bit more about really what the intricacies of the family, you obviously don't shoot it in order. You shoot different scenes at different times. Can you follow what's going on? I know you have the script, but as a viewer, when we're watching it, you know, everything unfolds, and you're learning the next thing and pulling away layers. Is it like that for you as an actor?
Yeah, you know, you sort of come in and you jump to where you're going to be. He's the DA in this. He takes over for the previous DA, and he takes over about as the case has started. And, of course, he doesn't want anything that happened with Rodney King or the McMartin trial to happen. And he's determined that, you know, he's going to make sure he's a winner. Of course, he doesn't win with OJ, but with this case, They did succeed, but you do find out how it unfolds, and it's written very well because it's from Dick Wolf and Law and Order.
Right,
it's written in a really cool way that I think is going to be very entertaining. At least the scripts that I have read so far have been really entertaining. So I'm still reading them. So you know,
how successful is Dick Wolf? I mean, he's got all those series here in Chicago. I mean, the guy, everything
he
touches.
Way too successful. But, you know, he's great. Now he's doing true crime. So he's just moved on to something else. He obviously had some great Chicago shows going on, but he's employed every actor in New York, usually once or twice.
Are we going to get you here to Chicago to do one of those Chicago shows?
Yes.
Listen, I hope so. I hope the next time I'm there, I can do it, you know, and see a Cubs game, and we can go out and sit in the bleachers or something. That'd be awesome.
I would love it. Mark Moses plays Gil Garcetti. You can check out the Menendez Murders, Law & Order True Crime, the Menendez Murders this fall on NBC. Great to talk to you, brother.
Great to talk to you, Pete and Jane. Take care.
Thanks,
Mark. Have a great weekend. That's Mark Moses. So we're great. Live on CLTV and 720 WGN. All right. Thanks again to Mark Moses. Chicago guy. Loves coming back to this city. I love Chicago actors like that.
He is just a wonderful guy. I love that he loves Chicago so much. I wish he was here today.
He was here a few weeks ago for a golf tournament. That's the last time we saw each other.
So he comes in a lot.
We went to Joe's on Weed Street.
Oh, we love Joe's on Weed Street.
Yeah.
Do you see him a lot? Does he come in a lot? Does he, is his family
when he comes
still
in,
here?
He's got friends here.
Yeah. And the Cubs.
But his kids live in out east. Yeah.
Okay. And he's in New York. Yeah.
Great guy, though. And I can't wait. If you've watched the trailers, find the trailers online. It's called Law & Order True Crime, The Menendez Murders. It looks fantastic. It does. All right, coming up after 9:30, there is a book out called You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, and it's probably one of the best self-help books that I've read.
We're both sitting here holding it in our hands.
Annette, are you a self-help guy? Do you read these books? Do you like quotes, motivational quotes? I'm that guy.
I read some.
This isn't so self-helpy. This is sort of like self-reminding.
It is, but Jen Sincero writes in such a way...
Yeah.
That it just relates to everybody.
It's like you're sitting around just having a coffee with her talking.
Because she was broke in her 40s too.
Well,
she's like, I didn't have any money and I had to get my life together. Mm-hmm. And she wrote the book and look what happened. I'm still, I have 60 pages left. I hate the fact that you already read the book.
I read the book and I'm on my second read.
I recommended it to you.
You sure did. You showed me a picture of it. I got it in the airport. I've been reading it on planes. I'm through my second read. I'm going through it.
So we'll talk Dog to earring. Jen right after the 9:30 news. It's 9:29 at 7:20 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands. But just because of don't make it in the groove, but you can tell right away in Dr. A when the people start to move. They can feel it all
up. 720 WGN 942. Pete McMurray, Jane Monsuris, Gabe Bennett. Pay attention because Jane and I are holding this book in our hand right here. I'm a big self-help book guy, and when a friend told me about this, I started reading it, and I didn't even get through the first three chapters, and I bought four copies and sent them out on Amazon.
And you texted me and said, Jane,
Get this book. We're going to get the author on the air. Absolutely. Your book is entitled, You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. On the phone with us is Jen Sincero. Jen, we love you.
Love you.
Aw, you guys.
There's the voice of all the words. This is so exciting.
Well, I'm trying to get my wife to read this. She's like, you finish the book, and then if I have time, I'll do it. But she keeps asking me why I like this book so much. First of all, it puts everything in perspective, and you write in a way that is relatable to everyone.
Thanks. That was the hope and dream of the book, was to really reach a lot of people who maybe would never be caught dead picking up a self-help book.
But the number one thing I think that I've learned from this book is you need to live in the moment. No one lives in the moment anymore, Jen.
I know. We got to get the moment back. Bring the moment back, y'all.
How do you do that? And why should people live in the moment? Explain to them why.
Because when you're in your head, there's a great quote that I put in there. When you're in the, if you're worried, you're in the past. If you're something, you're in the future. If you're calm, you're in the present. Because our brains, we get caught up in the worry of our brains and the what ifs and the fears and the yada yada. But when you're in the moment, like right now, talking to you guys on the radio, everything's cool. You know, everything's good. We don't have to be scared of the big fat what ifs, because fear really is the number one thing that stops us from doing a lot of awesome things that are available to us. And fear exists in your mind.
Yeah, and one of the things that you talk about. In the fear, well, you tell great stories. So in the fear chapter, you talk about going into this dark cave with your friend. You're like, yeah, it's fine. I'll just go in the cave. Who cares? And all of a sudden, you're in there, your jaws clenched around a light,
flashlight.
Thank you. Yeah. And then she says, turn off your light. And you turn off your light. And you're just afraid and you want to freak out. But you live in the moment and you get through it. So you give us messages like that throughout the book.
Yeah, have you guys ever been in a cave?
I can't say that I have.
Oh, my gosh. It was the darkest. Not only was it the darkest place I've ever been, we were on all fours in this tiny little hole. So, and I'm claustrophobic, and there were 8 trillion ways that I could have freaked out if I wanted to. But in that moment, we were fine. We were just crawling on all fours through this cave, and everything was fine. And it really, for some reason, I guess because it was such an extreme moment and everything else was stripped away and that fear was so huge and just sitting right there waiting for me to participate with it. And the choice between participating with the fear and not participating with the fear was crystal clear to me in that moment.
Right. The reason you use that example is because the fear is in your melon, man. You're making up this fear. You don't know what's going to be happening, but you're afraid of it.
Exactly. And this is the cosmic unfunny joke. How many times have you not done something because you're so freaking terrified to do it?
Right.
And then you do it, and it's no big deal.
No big deal. Every
right?
day.
All
yeah.
The name of the book is called You Are a Badass.
And you also talk about changing your subconscious mind. That's probably the hardest thing for anyone to do. Because it's you. Right now I'm thinking like about 15 other different things that subconsciously were put into my head before I was even born.
I know. Well, the good thing is once you wake up, you can do it. So, you know, the big part of my book is getting you aware of the fact that you've got all of these subconscious beliefs. So especially around money, you know, my new book about money that I just wrote, the amount of subconscious crap most people have around money, you know, it's the root of all evil. If I go after money, it means I have no morals. Money's not available to me. It's wrong to want money, blah, 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 blah. A lot of that goes on subconsciously. In our conscious minds, we're like, yeah, bring on, you know, I'll take all the money I can get. But there's a lot of weird subconscious stuff stopping us. So once you do the work in books like mine and other books out there, and you start to become aware of your subconscious beliefs, then you can take the power away from them.
Jen Sincero on the phone with us. Jen, I'm going to have you hold on. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to give the people that are listening a takeaway. What can they do today to manifest something in their life? Okay.
Okay.
You are a badass. You can find it everywhere, including Amazon, where I bought 4 copies and sent 3 to my friends. All right.
You can get it at the airport, too.
You can get it at the airport and pay extra like Jane did.
That's what
I
did.
So Jen can put a little more in her pocket. It's 720 WGN. WGN 950. Happy Friday, everybody. The author of the book is on the phone with us. You Are a Badass. It is Jen Sincero. This book will change your life. And before we get to the steps to help people get to their goals or manifest something in their life, you talk about how words hurt. And when you say words out loud, like, I'm scared to do this, or I'm very lazy, or I can't do that, I've never been able to, those put something in your mind, don't they, Jen?
Yeah, and they call up emotion, and we are creatures who are driven much more by emotion than anything else. So if you keep saying, I can't afford it, I can't do that, it gives you a feeling of lowness, and when you get yourself psyched up, and you're like, I'm going to go do that, I feel awesome, it literally raises your frequency. I mean, think about how many times you've looked back and been like, I knew in my gut that was such a bad idea, but I did it anyway because it was going to feel good. You know what I mean?
Right.
Emotionally not great decisions all the time. So your words will help you get to the emotion you're trying to create to do something awesome.
And another thing you say is act like you already own it, or you already have it, or you're already living your dream.
Yes.
So you already have that dream job, and you already have that big house, or whatever it is that your dream is. And so, yes, you could say, I already have it, but you're in the back of your head, you're like, nah, I really don't, but I'm going to have it. But how do you actually pretend like you really have it when you actually don't?
Yeah, awesome question. I mean, again, it's about that emotional thing. Like, if you visualize having it, you post pictures all over your house of, you know, let's say it's a car you want, and you look at it every day, and you start getting into that feeling of it as a reality, it helps manifest it in the physical plane. It sounds bananas, but I'm telling you, I heard this great quote that worrying is praying for what you don't want. So if you keep focusing on what you don't want, you create that. It really is true. What you focus on happens.
We do a lot of group outings here at WGN Radio, and we have one next week. It's next Wednesday, and I couldn't sign up for it fast enough because I have trouble doing this, and I've tried a million times. We have a meditation group outing happening Wednesday, and I've tried to meditate. You talk about it in your book, but my brain moves at 120 miles an hour. How do I focus?
I know the meditation. It's amazing how hard it is to sit down and shut up, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I really recommend doing it just for 5 minutes. I think the problem is we get all freaked out because we're trying to sit down for 20 minutes, and, you know, within the first 3 minutes, we're wiggling and thinking of, you know, what we're going to have for lunch and, you know, other really important things. So if you take it down to just a teeny tiny bit to get that muscle strong, then you, like, add a minute every week, and before you know it, it won't be such a big drama.
And why should we do this? Why should people meditate or take that quiet 5 minutes?
Yeah, because we disconnect from all the squirrels in our brains that are, again, freaking out and fearful and caught in overwhelm. And, you know, think of, I can't remember, there's some statistics, and I don't know how they measured this, but the majority of our thoughts, like 85%, are pretty useless and, you know, all over the place. And I don't want to, you know, rag on the brain too much because I'm pretty psyched about my brain and my thoughts, but a lot of them really don't help us. And when you meditate, you get into this zone where you get into the present and you can focus on the ones that you desire to think about and the ones that are going to help you feel better and create better things in your life.
Again, bring it back to the now, present, stay in the moment.
Jen, before this book and before all of this self-discovery that you did, you thought all the self-help and all this sit and meditate and source energy and your ego and all this stuff, you thought that was a bunch of hooey.
I know. Well, I'm from New York, and we're really snarky out there, you know? And I thought it was really very woo-woo and cheese ball. And, you know, it is. However, it worked.
It works.
Yes. At that point, after I was living in a garage for a couple of years, I was like, you know what? I need some help here. So I did whatever I had to do. And it was, you know, taking the risk of being found dead with self-help books in my house. If that's what it took, I was going to do it.
And it worked. Okay, for anyone listening right now who has a goal, wants a job somewhere, wants to make more money, wants to retire early, get them on a path. How do they start? What do they have to do?
Okay, well, this is a great segue. So I, for me, one of the scariest things was admitting that I needed help, was doing things that I thought were cheesy and not, you know, outside of my comfort zone. And that is the tip I'm going to leave everybody with. If you want to change your life, do something every single day that scares the crap out of you. Because you got where you are by doing what you're doing. And getting outside of your comfort zone is the only way you're going to see any radical changes. So ask that person out that you're scared to ask out, or double your rates, or ask for that raise, or book that trip that you've wanted to take. And you got it. If you're not scared, you're doing something wrong. If you want to change your life, you really got to push yourself.
It seems so easy, but when you say it out loud, it's a little scary, isn't it?
It's scary. It's definitely scary, but, you know, scared and excited are pretty much the same feeling.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, you know, think of it. It's sort of how you frame it. Just like focus on the excitement instead of the fear. Fear is not going to ever go anywhere, by the way. Fear is always going to be there. So when you sort of when you focus on the excitement part of fear, you can use it to help you instead of stop you.
Yeah, it's part of the package. And I think also number one thing, and you end every single chapter with this, is love yourself.
I'm trying.
I know.
It's hard to do.
Love.
I know, but here's the thing that I find so helpful about that is like, you're going to screw up. You're going to say really stupid things. You're going to be mean. You're just going to, you know, go home just regretting that you ever even left the house because you were such an idiot. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen over and over. So get over it, you know? And again, it's whatever you focus on, you create more of. So if you keep focusing on how badly you screwed up, you can guarantee you're going to create more of that.
Jen Sincero, Are a Badass is the name of the book. I love how you talk, and that's exactly how you write.
It's a fun book.
It is a fun book.
Helpful book.
Thank you, Jen. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. This was really fun.
Thanks, Jen.
Take care. I can't say enough about this book.
Jen,
it's just fun.
Speed dial, but instead of her on speed dial, just get the book.
Yes,
really.
You can do that. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.